ॐ ज्ञानचिनिदन्तस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Just like you cannot go to America unless they think you are qualified. They only let you in if they think you are qualified. They won't give you a visa. So in the same way, the Vedic literatures describe that the moon is a planet on which it's a heavenly planet in which pious people live, and you can't go there by force. The moon gives life to the vegetables that any farmer knows. So how is it that they say there's no vegetables on the moon itself? There are so many reasons we can say. Actually, Prabhupada said that according to the Vedic literatures, the moon is further away than the sun. So how can you go there in 4 days if the sun is accepted as 93 million miles away? Now this may all seem very shocking to you. I'm going to ask you to consider some reasons. After all, we're not unreasonable people. There's some other points. Now, when was it they were first supposed to go to the moon? Was it 1968? 69. I must have been 12 years older. I remember everyone was staying in England. It was in the middle of the night when they were supposed to have landed on the moon, so everyone was staying up all night to watch it on TV. I didn't bother. And so what? What's the big thing? So, 1969, okay, add 25 to that. We come to 1994, right? So usually 25 years after some great event, they have a celebration, isn't it? So in 1994, why didn't they have a big celebration all over the world? They should have had television programs, special stamps, interviews with the astronauts. If it's one small step for man and one great step for mankind, then why were they ekdam chup about the whole thing? Why? Because, according to surveys, more than 50% of the people in America don't believe they went to the moon. So they're afraid. If they talk about it, then there'll be more protests. Now another thing, they were supposed to have gone to the moon, then why did they stop going? They say there's nothing there. Why there's nothing there? They say the moon has come from the earth originally. So on the earth there's gold, diamonds, oil, so many precious things. So why don't you go and find it on the moon? You see, if you land in the Arabian desert, if you see the sand, you may think there's nothing there. But if you dig, you'll find oil. So they should know that. They're supposed to be scientists. Why don't they dig on the moon and find diamonds, and then they won't have to pay, the taxpayers won't have to pay for their trips to the moon. But instead they're going to Mars. We got fed up with the moon, now we are going to go to Mars. And who is going to pay? The taxpayer. So, Prabhupada often used to speak about this. One reason is to show that actually the Vedic literature, the Vedic knowledge, that is the actual standard of knowledge. What we call science today is actually guesswork, which means ignorance. It means if you don't know, you guess. And if it seems to be right, then you accept it. But what happens in science is that always they find that what they think is right, after some time they find it's wrong. Isn't it? The theories are always changing. That means that they don't actually know. It may seem to be correct, but actually they have no proper standard of knowledge. Therefore, Vedic knowledge is knowledge given by God, who made the universe, and He knows what's going on in the universe. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a description of the universe. Not in great detail, because it's not the most important thing in the world to know about the different planets, but the information is given. So there's knowledge of different planets. Now, in the modern world, they say they have discovered gradually they discover different planets. But the knowledge is already there in the Vedic literature. The names of all the different planets. Just like we have the days of the week. Ravi, Som, Mangal, Budh, Guru, Shukra, Shani. These are all the names of different planets. And the knowledge of these planets was so precise. You see, in Vedic knowledge, one very important science is astrology. Now, many modern people, they don't believe in, we say we don't believe in astrology. We are rationalists. But astrology is based on astronomy. You have to know what the position of the stars, what is the movement of the stars. So, even to calculate astrologically, you have to have knowledge of astronomy. And in the Vedic literature, we have precise knowledge. You can use Vedic astronomical tables and you can predict what time the sun will rise. All these things are very important to know. What time in astrology you have to, when you're calculating the, just like you have to, for, if you're following any vrata or you're trying to find any auspicious time or inauspicious time, you have to know what time the sun rises, the sun sets, the moon sets. All these things you have to know precisely. So these things were calculated using Vedic astronomy. That means that they had accurate knowledge of the planets. Doesn't it? So that's one point. That we can establish that the Vedic knowledge is correct. And even in something as dramatically contradictory as this, that saying that the so-called astronauts never went to the moon. Prabhupada was adamant about this. He said, I know they have not gone to the moon because according to the Vedic literature, you cannot go by machine. You have to go by punya karma, you can go to the moon, not by machine. And another reason you can't go is because anyway, it's further away than the sun. So one point is to establish the Vedic literatures. That we have to have faith in the Vedic literatures. We cannot trust the aksha, this is called pratyaksha. What we see with our eyes, our senses, is not trustworthy. Just like if you see the sun in the sky, you may think it's a ball. How far away? Maybe 500 meters, maybe 5 kilometers. You can't tell. Just by seeing, you can't tell. You have to take higher knowledge. Revealed knowledge from the Vedic literatures. That means Vedas, Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata. There are so many points which modern people don't accept. So-called modern people. Just like in the Mahabharata, it's described how great warriors like Arjuna, they could fight with many soldiers at one time. And their weapons, one arrow can destroy many people. And you're saying, what bow and arrow? The Adivasis in the jungle are fighting with bows and arrows. But that's not like Arjuna. Arjuna had such a weapon powered by mantra that they were very powerful to destroy. And you're saying, well, I don't believe them. But then, maybe 100 years ago, people wouldn't believe if you spoke about an atom bomb. Or even, you see, this last major war in the world was this America against Iraq. Now they're going to fight again. This Saddam Hussein didn't get the message yet. So they have such bombs, smart bombs they call it, that they can by controlled by computer, they can find exactly, if they want to hit a building in the whole big city of Baghdad, they'll choose one building, which window they want to hit with the bomb, and it will go there and hit it. I was reading that some time ago, just when the Cold War between America and Russia was finishing, that one Russian general, he was given a tour of American defense headquarters, and they were showing the computers and everything, and he said, well, that's all right, but you didn't really show me anything very interesting, the Russian general said. So then they asked him, what is your address in Moscow? So he gave his address. And then they got their computer to find out, and within 2 minutes, by looking from computer in America to the satellite, and they showed on the screen, live picture, what's going on outside his home in Moscow. Exactly they could see. And they could come into such detail that if the coin was lying on the street in Moscow outside his home, they could find it and read what is written on the coin. So, you see, it's difficult. It's amazing, huh? So we find it difficult. 50 years ago, if you told people this, they couldn't imagine. They had no experience of that. So Arjuna is shooting such arrows that at one time, 1,000 people killed. Or someone is shooting an arrow which makes everything like fire. And then someone else will shoot an arrow which will bring water and extinguish them. There's so many different kinds of weapons. So we may, because it's not in our experience, we don't want to believe it. But there are so many things beyond our experience. What do we know? We're on a tiny little planet and we think we know everything. But actually the Vedic literatures give us full knowledge of the universe. That's one point. Now another point is how, in the name of knowledge and science, how we are being cheated. There are four propensities of the conditioned soul. That means someone who is not Krishna conscious. Brahm Pramad Vipralipsa Karana Patav. These are the technical Sanskrit words. Brahm means the tendency to make mistakes. You see, even someone may be a very sincere scientist, but he makes mistakes. The history of science is a history of mistakes. Even you see great scientists like Newton, and everyone thought that Newton, the model of physics he has given, this is it. This is beyond this, there is nothing more to be known. Classical physics, Newtonian physics. This is the paradigm by which we will understand the workings of the energies within the universe. But then Einstein came along, and Newtonian physics still has its use, but it's a very incomplete picture. In other words, Newton, he didn't have full understanding, he made a mistake. So Brahm Pramad means illusion. We're all in illusion. Vipralipsa means cheating propensity. And this is, there are so many stories. You know, if you read Time magazine or Newsweek, all these things, you'll find how big scientists, they're cheating on their, because they get research grants. So they want to keep on getting the grants. So they make the results, they change the results to make it appear to be what the company who is employing them wants it to be, rather than what it actually is. Actually, two of our devotees from America, about 3 years ago now, they published a book called Forbidden Archaeology, which shows that the Darwinian theory of evolution has been propagated by cheating only. That there is tremendous scientific evidence all over the world which has been discovered, which totally refutes Darwinian evolutionary theory, such as skulls, modern human skulls and artifacts, tools found in rocks 50 million years old, with no very deep rocks, very hard rocks. Many cases like this, but any such evidence is covered up. And there's actually absolutely no evidence whatsoever to this day of evolutionary theory that man has descended from monkeys. Nothing, not one single piece of evidence. That's why they say theory of evolution. Theory means they think wrongly. But there's so much evidence to the contrary, but it's covered up. And now this book, Forbidden Archaeology, is creating a sensation all over the world, because scientists, they don't want to admit it, but anyone can read it. And this book is being translated, not by Ariswan devotees, by independent publishers, because it's a bestseller. People all over the world want to know how we have been cheated by this evolutionary theory, which is not true. Which again comes to the Vedic point that we have not descended from monkeys. Rather, life and everything in this world the living beings, the bodies, they are, everything is going on by design. The body, you see, even one cell within the body, you can't imagine how it would come into being by chance. It's so complex. Just like this, if I say this came into being by chance, one day there was an explosion, small explosion, and then this came by chance. Would anyone believe it? How much intelligence went into making this lota? That first you had to find out where is the copper in the earth. You have to find it, extract it from the earth, and then you have to refine the copper ore to get make pure copper, make sheet, and then this design, so this fits nicely. So much intelligence goes into making a simple copper lota. And you want to say that the human body, which is so complex, we don't understand how it's working. Is that correct, Mr. Doctor? We have some idea, but a full idea we don't have. And you want to say it's coming into being by chance? Even one cell in our body is literally millions of times more complex than this. How can it come into being by chance? And the Vedic literature say nothing is coming to being by chance. Everything comes from Krishna. Janmadhyasyataha. Everything comes from him. But the cheating propensity, because people are atheists, they want to say, no, everything has come by chance. There is no God in control. This is mentioned by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, this cheating propensity of the atheists. Asatyam apratishtante jagad ahur anishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. The demons, the atheists, the cheaters, they say that there is no ultimate truth, asatyam, apratishtam, there is no ultimate basis of anything. Everything is just existing. There's no ultimate order behind. Even though everything in the universe is so much ordered, they say there is no order. And this is called science. This is actually nescience, which means ignorance. Asatyam apratishtante jagad ahur anishvara. They preach, the atheists preach, there is no God in control. Even though they are controlled, they don't want to grow old and die, but they are forced to grow old and die. Completely under control. If you get a cold or a headache, you can't control it, but they want to say, there is no one in control. When they have to run to the bathroom to pass stool, they're forced to. They're under the control of nature, but they say, there is no ultimate controller. Aparaspara sambhutam. Everything is simply existing. There's no mutual connection. It's just going on. Kinanyat kama haitukam. And then what is the cause of everything? Simply lust. Ultimately, this atheism leads to more and more kaam, or sex desire, which we see in the modern world. In the name of progress, let us be modern, they're simply promoting lust more and more. Promoting it. You see in the newspapers, bring your Valentine to some ice cream shop and win a prize. They're promoting lust. Because for the atheist, he has no desire to love God, therefore his loving propensity turns into lust, like the dogs and cats. It means in their next life they will become dogs and cats. But this, they will say, we don't believe, as if they are the knowers of everything. So these things, just like they're declaring, we have gone to the moon, we are conquering nature. Have you ever heard this? How man is conquering nature. You see, now man is conquering the universe. Big, big talk. Big, big bluff. That's all. You're not conquering anything. You're under the control of your own lust. And you're saying, we are conquering. So the position of a devotee of Krishna is that he is not a sentimentalist. He understands everything very clearly. He doesn't claim, I am the greatest man, the great achievements of man. He knows we are very, very tiny beings. There is the Supreme Lord. Our position is to serve him. This way we can be happy. But the whole propaganda of modern society is going in the opposite direction. Enjoy life. There's no God. There's no karma. Eat what you like. Talk whatever nonsense, Darwin's theory, we've gone to the moon, whatever you like. Enjoy. Have a Valentine, girlfriend, boyfriend, abortion, all these things. So this propaganda by the atheists is very strong. But you see, even their own propaganda, the other people are showing it's simply cheating. This video was not made by ISKCON devotees. This was made by some journalist in America who, naturally, when people, they find out that they're being cheated, they're not very happy. But actually most people, the condition of society is so fallen that people, they don't even mind that they're being cheated. As long as I can enjoy, I have some food and some sex life, then I can be happy. Just like in India, so much cheating. The politicians are all cheating. You see, they're saying, Jai Ho, Jai Ho. Next. Who will cheat us next? But they don't care. The politicians are cheating. All right. I'm also cheating someone else. They're a bigger cheater than me. Maybe tomorrow I'll be a big cheater also. They don't care. As long as I have my own roti kapra makan, then what the hell do I care? It's let them cheat. Why should I bother? The same thing in America. There's so much cheating. Who cares? People, they don't care. The president of America is just... you know. His moral standard is on the level of a dog. But people don't care because they're also the same. He's doing so what I'm also doing. Let us all live freely and happily. Free sex. What does it matter? No one cares. This proper, very dangerous propaganda. And the ultimate result is people become frustrated, miserable. They spoil the chance of the human form of life, which is meant to live very soberly and understand God. But instead, they become diverted by false propaganda. We are conquering nature. The conquest of man over space. Evolutionary theory means that the body is simply a combination of chemicals. So when you die, everything is finished. There's no God. This is what they preach. And the result is, people are spoiling their human form of life. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, we want to show this, that what you're taught, practically what you're taught at school, what you learn from the TV, what you learn from the newspapers, it's all cheating you. You're being cheated into thinking that you can enjoy this material world when you cannot. There's no enjoyment in this material world. The purpose of human life is to understand God, but they deride this. They newspapers especially, TV, you won't find any such thing. Simply they're deliberately leading people in the wrong direction. Who is glorified? The most degraded people. The movie actors and actresses. These people are the most glorified. Now in the newspaper, in the Indian Express every day they have a different model or actress asking about the elections. And what is their qualification? What do they know? Their qualification is they can dance on the screen. And then they will speak about the future of the country. You see, what a condition the country is in. That these, if a cinema star becomes the chief minister, and he was the most degraded people. First of all, you become a film star, and then when you get too old, you become a minister. and people will vote for you. Because they're fools, that's all. Why you should vote for someone who knows something about how to govern the country. They know how to dance. And they will be the leaders of the people. So that means that all the fools are voting for the biggest fool. That's all. And then what do you expect? What kind of government do you expect? And then people will blame the government. Don't blame the government. You voted for them. So this whole society is simply cheaters and cheated. Not only this moon thing, every factor. The whole education system simply cheating. Study, 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 study. And at the end, what? Working so hard, late nights, study, 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 work, 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 work. And what do you get? You get a degree. And then if you're lucky with your degree, you can get a job. And then what do you do with your job? Work, 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 work. And your whole life. And what would be the value? You can live in a house. That when you're coming exhausted from work, you can come in a house and then you can sleep and you can watch TV, some nonsense. And if you have a good job, then you can buy a car to drive to work in. And this is, then you become a successful person. This whole society is just cheating you. The purpose of life is to understand, who am I? Who is God? What is our relationship with Him? But instead, they just want to show you some beauty contest, or election, or cricket game. This is all simply diversions, meaningless diversions from the actual goal of life, which is to understand Krishna. You have to die. It's not going to help you. You're watching the beauty contest. And then how will that help you when you die? You elect this guy, that guy, someone else. How is it going to help you when you die? When you die, you get another body according to your consciousness and your activities in this life. So how is it going to help you? Going to parties, drinking alcohol, going to beauty contests, having girlfriends, abortions. How is it going to help you? It's not going to help you. You're simply going to have to take birth as a dog. So this propaganda given out by modern society is most misleading. Anyone who is sane, it's an unusual thing in the modern age to find someone who is sane, but anyone who is sane, sober, they should think, what am I doing with my life? What is the purpose of life? They should come here and understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. We're not giving lectures simply for entertainment. That's another kind of so-called spiritual entertainment. Krishna dance with the gopi. But who is Krishna? Do you know who is Krishna? Then what will you understand he's dancing with the gopi? You have to understand who is Krishna. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayatya visham vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. He is that from which everything emanates, in whom everything is maintained, by whom everything is maintained. He is the object of inquiry. He is the absolute truth. That is Krishna. You have to understand. Point by point, hear these classes. Try to understand who is Krishna. Then your human life will be properly used. And if you think, oh, just let me listen to some cinema music, then your life is spoiled. So we are requesting people, don't let your life be spoiled by this atheistic propaganda. Even they themselves are revealing how much they are cheating. So don't be cheated. Don't be cheated by this propaganda that you can be happy by living like a complete idiot. You can only be happy by understanding Krishna. That is a fact. That we can understand by philosophy and by practical experience also. Does anyone have any questions? What is it? Aware of what?
That going towards and they think that they are to me.
What is he saying?
Nothing but glory.
So, what's that got to do with anything?
I just know that sheep and
so?
What is your view?
Again, it's the attempt to play at being God. You cannot be successful. Even if you clone a human, actually you're not creating life. Life and chemicals, they are different things. They say that we are creating life, but actually the chemicals and the life are two different things. If you simply take raw chemicals, you cannot produce anything. Now, you may say human cloning, all right, so you do that. But still that human being has to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. So what is the solution to that? Producing in the laboratory from what? But where is the life? What is the life force? Where does the life... Where does the life come from? If you simply take... What are the chemicals in the human body? Most prominent are carbon, then hydrogen, oxygen from water, nitrogen. There's so many different chemicals. So why don't you take the chemicals and combine them? Can you do it? That's not possible. You have to take what is already living, just like already they had test tube babies. So the test tube baby means you take the living, already the impregnated ovum. And that is an artificial womb. So in the same way, the living cells are taken. If you take dead cells, if you take tissue from a human body, and that is dead, it means the life has gone out of it, then you can do whatever you like, but that will not develop. So the life, what is the difference between organic and inorganic? What is the difference between living cell and dead cell, living body and dead body? Just like this example, if you take a dead body, can you take chemicals from that and make your cloning? No, the living force is there. So, the Atma, that is there, that is the living force. And from that, the living body develops. Just like you see a child. The child is very small and grows. How is that? If you take, sometimes a child is born dead, then the child does the same body, right? In a hospital, two women give birth at the same time. They both give birth to children. One is dead and one is alive. The dead one will not grow. The living one will grow, although the chemicals in the body is the same. What is the difference? Because in one of them, the Atma is there. That's all. So by manipulation, different things may be able to be done, but life you cannot create. You can manipulate that in different ways. By the grace of God, who gives you the intelligence to do that. But you will create problems. I can guarantee there will be problems. Just like we thought we could conquer disease by TB is conquered, smallpox is conquered, so many diseases are conquered. But there are laws of nature which go deeper than giving injections. Those are the laws of karma. So, even if you so-called conquer smallpox or tuberculosis or whatever, you'll find some other disease will come by the laws of karma, just like AIDS. So you cannot avoid the laws of nature. There are subtle laws of nature, which if they are violated, the reaction will come. What is your opinion of cloning? You don't look very convinced. Do you think man is now finally conquering nature?
Actually, I only want to know what you do. What do you
There's no great benefit. Already so many people are being born.
I mean, say that the same man is being indicated in the laboratory.
Yeah, so if the man is taught to have good qualities, that would be useful. Otherwise, mostly the people of the modern age are simply living like demons. So what's the use of creating more demons? No use. What is the value actually of this? Why are they doing this? What is supposed to be the benefit of this?
The thing which I want to tell is that the human being is being cloned.
Hmm.
And when he is doing and when he is gaining away from his outer atmosphere, from where he is from, then the same man is being cloned, and another being is produced from him. He will also be having the same shape, same body.
Yeah, so what is the value of that? What's the benefit? You see twins, identical twins, they're also the same, but what's the value? They still have to suffer old age, death and disease. So what's the actual value? What's the benefit? So actually intelligence should be used to understand what is the value of human life. It's just that you see now, there are so many examples we can give. Just like they're producing different strains of rice and wheat, and it's supposed to be some benefit because it gives higher yields. But then there are other problems because the hybrid varieties, they're more susceptible to disease, and they're not as nutritious, and they're not as tasty. And there's so many, you get my point, by so-called manipulating nature, so many problems have come. By taking the oil out of the ground, and we're thinking that we'll make motor cars and plastics, but then there's so many other problems like pollution and this and that. The whole point is that we think by manipulating nature we will improve life, but you create at least as many problems in doing so as you do by making the so-called solution. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that attempts by materialists to solve their problems by material means, it's like someone who's carrying a heavy weight on his shoulder. What is the solution? Take it off and put it on the other shoulder. By solving one problem, you create another problem. That's actually what's going on. They haven't actually solved any problems. Just like this whole modern society is supposed to be so wonderful because of technological advancement. But we have, in the modern society, we have more problems than at any other time in history. So overall, what is the benefit? Previously, they say that in the past people were backward, but you see previously, in India at least, there was so much philosophical understanding, so much depth of knowledge of Shastra and Vedas and what is the purpose of life. Nowadays, even the educated people, they can't understand very simple things, that we're not this body, we are eternal soul. People's ability to understand metaphysical philosophy has become almost zero because their brain is filled with nonsense. Cricket match and beauty shows. People watch these things and their ability to understand higher subject matter becomes completely destroyed because their intelligence is on such a low level. Their level of consciousness is so low. So in modern society we have increased the amenities and so many things, but our level of consciousness is abominably low. What consciousness is being promoted in modern society? Beauty contest. That is the same level of consciousness. Don't mind me saying so, but you can understand. It is the same level of consciousness as the dogs on the street, who when they see a she-dog, they all go and smell. Isn't it? This beauty contest is exactly this. It's the same level of consciousness. Very low. And we think this is being modern and advanced. But real advancement, real progress is to have controlled intelligence, controlled senses, and fix your mind on God. That is higher consciousness. But people nowadays, their consciousness is so low. And then you see, they think, what is the qualification? Vote for a film star. He said, not even basic intelligence they don't have. Very low level of consciousness. So we are promoting Krishna consciousness, which is the highest consciousness. It takes some intelligence to understand and some purification. Purification of consciousness is required, because in the modern society, our consciousness is filled with kaam, krodh, lobh, and all the things which pollute our consciousness. Those of you who are science students, you may be interested in this magazine we're distributing, which present. Where's that Origins magazine? Have you all seen that?
Yes, we know.
Yeah, you may be interested to see this. This is written up by some of our devotees in America who have. They're showing geology, how the cheating of the so-called geological record, examining evolutionary theory, the history of science, reincarnation, the nature of the soul, all from brain and consciousness, all these things are discussed. So, those of you who want to understand these points in a scientific way, I request you take this magazine. You'll find it very interesting. If you want to get into it in more detail. Any other questions?
Why the Lord Krishna created good persons and bad persons? Why not only good persons? Why not only happiness?
The nature of every living being is to be happy and good. But what does it mean to be good? Good means that you choose to be good, isn't it? Otherwise, if you're simply programmed like a robot, then where's the question of being good or bad? Good or bad means there's choice, isn't it? Means you choose to do the right thing. So, Krishna has given us some independence. Otherwise, if you say God should make everyone good, by nature everyone is good, but we also have the choice to misuse our individuality. So Krishna gives us the individuality to choose. Individuality to choose, that means that there may be some who misuse their individual freedom. So, Krishna doesn't make us bad. We ourselves choose to be like that. There are those who choose to be like that. And there are those who choose to be good. Why not only happiness? That is the nature of the spiritual world. Vaikuntha, Golok Vrindavan. There is full happiness. Here in this material world, there is so much envy. Everyone is trying to outdo everyone else. So, everyone is inflicting suffering on everyone else, therefore there is not happiness. Happiness is possible when we properly use our individuality to choose to serve Krishna. Then we will be fully happy, then we will be fully good. But if we don't do that, then we get all the bad qualities. This is discussed in detail in Bhagavad Gita. What are the nature of daiva prakriti? Daivi sampaddi mokshaya. The qualities of the devotees leads to moksha. Nivandhaya surimata. And the qualities of the asuras or the demons, that leads to bondage. So the qualities are described. What are the qualities of the good people? What are the qualities of the bad people? And why and how they develop? This is all discussed in detail in Gita. I request you to study Bhagavad Gita as it is. You'll be surprised how much knowledge is there. Where's that Bhagavad Gita as it is, we should show. Fine. Here we have Hindi, Gujarati, English, whatever language we have. This is Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Yatharup. Mostly people are giving some translation according to their own opinion. But this exactly follows what Krishna says. Therefore, this edition of Bhagavad Gita is very powerful. This edition of Bhagavad Gita has changed the lives of lakhs of people throughout the world. Because it is the actual message of Krishna is very powerful. But when people